good to me. Has he been good to you? Well, then go ahead and worship. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So if God has been good to you, go ahead and take a moment and stretch your hands towards heaven and worship him. Say hallelujah. Say yes, Lord. See, there's somebody here right now that barely made it here today. They barely got out the bed today because Satan was trying to keep you. Satan wants to keep you down. He wants to steal your joy. He wants to make you feel defeated. And you press your way. Satan told you no. The doctor said no, but you just kept on pressing, and now you're here. So don't sit here like you got it all together. Worship him, because he's worthy. He's worthy. Such a personal song. Yes, sir. Such a personal song. Yes, sir. Come and go with me to the gospel as recorded by St. Matthew. And we're going to just keep on going with the spirit of the song. Matthew, the 11th chapter, the 28th through the 30th verse. Anybody in here ever been tired before? Your shoulders ever felt heavy before? Well, come and go with me to Matthew 11, 28 through 30. First, I want to give honor to God, who's the head of my life, to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to his Holy Spirit, to the angel of the house, Pastor Mobley, to the deacons, to my brothers and sisters in Christ, their is a word from the Lord on today. Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30. If you have it, say amen. 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 And there you'll find these words. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke up on you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I want you to repeat after me. On today, we're going to learn how to lighten the load. Dear Heavenly Gracious Father, we love you, we bless you, we praise you. We lift up your holy name, and we're just so thankful that you're God and God all by yourself. We're thankful for your son, Jesus Christ. We're thankful for what he's done on Calvary. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. God, we're thankful that you've just been so good to us. God, we thank you that you've given us the privilege, the opportunity, the blessing to come together and worship you one more time. God, thank you that my worship is for real. Thank you for bringing me out of for real problems, for real tragedies, for real sickness. So my worship has to be genuine. God, I know that you're real because I feel you in my soul. God, we give you all the praise, honor, and glory. Allow me to decrease so that you may increase. Let he that has an ear hear what the Spirit says to the church on today. Give us a mind to apply the word from up on high. Allow us to be better Christians when we leave this place than what we were when we arrived. God, we're going to give you all the honor. God, we're going to give you all the glory. Because God, it belongs to you. You kept us when we don't deserve to be kept. God, you loved us. Thank you. When we don't deserve your love. And God, you saw fit. Thank you. To give us grace. To give us mercy. God, we don't deserve it, but you gave it to us anyway. You've kept us in our right mind. God, we don't deserve it, but you did it anyhow. You just keep on blessing us. And for that, God, we say thank you. For that, God, we say thank you. For that, God, we say thank you. And it's in your son Jesus' name that we pray. Let every heart say amen. Amen and amen. Amen. You may be seated in his presence. Give God some praise as you take your seat. Give God some praise as you take your seat. We thank God for the musicians and the praise and worship team on today and allowing the Lord to use them in such a mighty, mighty way. Amen. Amen. How to lighten the load. I know without a shadow of a doubt, I don't have to do an interview. I don't have to go by and ask everyone anything. I know there's some people in here today that are tired. Amen. I know there's some people in here that if you're not tired right now, you've been tired before. And if the Lord allows you to see some more days and some more years, there will be some times when you gonna be tired again. Because the Bible tells me that our adversary, the devil, is always moving to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. Beloved, we don't have to look around long to see that the world that we are visiting, the place in which we are merely passing by, passing through, is in a whole bunch of trouble. Amen. 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 You guys gonna help me preach this today. The world has embraced, embodied, and has completely endorsed most of the things that God despises. Am I right about it? If you're not in agreement with homosexuality, then you're not a good person. Now, the church needs to love all people, but we don't have to condone what God despises. That's okay. You see how quiet you got on me right there? That's okay. That's okay. That's okay. And then the world is promoting polygamy. It's a thing now, more prevalent than ever and more than just in the Mormon culture, that it's okay in some places to have more than one spouse. Did you know that in Greece they are now in the process of making pedophilia a disability? Yeah, look it up. Look it up. You know, do some research. They're in the process of doing this. The new thing is to be polyamorous. You don't know what that is? Let me tell you what it is. That is when people want to date more than one person at a time. They saying that one and nine people have tried it, and one of six still want to. The world is all messed up. Our streets are filled with homeless people, and we have teenage girls being murdered in cold blood by people, by boys and young men who they thought loved them. Our schools are filled with hate and racism, and the systematic racism is being ignored, and they give us Juneteenth, and we're supposed to spin around and throw confetti. We live in a time where a teenager can TikTok and Snapchat and YouTube and Facebook and Instagram and tweet all night and not blink an eye or go to the bathroom, but can't sit through a 90-minute church service without walking the halls and or falling asleep. Sickness has invaded our ranks. Cancer is everywhere. AIDS is still prevalent. High blood pressure is all through our families. MS is here. RA, heart disease, COVID, mental illnesses are at an all-time high. Depression is running rampant. People can't sleep without meds. Our children need meds just to go to sleep and to go to school each day. I come from a time that where if you didn't go to bed, you could hear daddy's belt buckle clinking against the other piece of metal, and you'd hop into bed and you'd play sleep best you could. And before you know it, you would wake up and it'd be morning time. I come from a time where if you acted up at school, I have one of my dearest friends, they didn't send you to the principal's office. They would call your father, and he would come up on his lunch break, and he didn't come to talk. He didn't come to, you know, argue and go off and cuss out the teacher. He would remove you from the class. And my fourth grade teacher was just so tough. I hope my friend is watching, because we're going to laugh about it later. His daddy whooped him in the hallway at J.S. Chick School. Whooped him in the hallway. And the teacher left the door open so we could hear him hollering. And we were petrified, horrified. And everybody was angels for the rest of the day. Now, some people, daddies may not have been present or may not would have come to the school. But why I acted right is because I knew my daddy was just crazy enough to come on up on his lunch break. And I didn't want to be in the bathroom like my friend. I won't say his name. But I didn't want to be in the bathroom like that. We felt so bad for William. Oh, I said his name. But we felt so bad for him. But it made us all act like we had some sense. I remember the great author said, as I stand here contemplating on the right thing to decide, will I take the wrong direction? All my life, where will I go? What lies ahead of me? I have a strong determination, and I'm not afraid of change. I have yet to find that someone who would care to satisfy me, to stay right by me. Who? Y'all holy today? Who can I run to share this empty space? Who can I run to when I need love? Oh, y'all real holy this morning. Who can I run to fill this empty space with laughter? Who can I run to when I need love? The world and the saints are running to everything but Jesus. Okay, see how quiet you got on me right there. See, this text is not talking about necessarily a physical rest, but he's talking about a spiritual rest, a rest for our souls. A lot of people are weary in their souls today. Henry Thoreau said that most men lead lives of quiet desperation. Many are troubled and agitated in their souls, and we try to find rest in all the wrong places. Some of us are looking to drugs. We know Jesus, but we still mess with the wacky tobacco tools. Come on, see how holy you got there. See how holy you got there. You know, I guess when y'all got saved, y'all immediately gave everything up. I was the only one still praising the Lord and getting high at the same time. It's okay. It's okay. I'll tell on myself. But some of us are looking to alcohol. Some people are worshiping and using social media as treatment to find rest for their souls. Some people are looking for companionship. And the TV and the internet, and some people are church hopping and traveling and not going to church, and they believe now that it don't take all that to grow in the Lord. Some people are bed hopping and club hopping and trash talking and paper chasing and drug using and weed smoking and backstabbing and moving all over the country. I bet we all know 5-10 people who done moved to Dallas or Atlanta or Houston thinking that the whole world is going to change because you geographically relocated. Soon as you get to where you're going, unless you change, that same aura and energy that you had in Kansas City is going to be there in Dallas. Nobody want to hear that, though. Nobody want to hear that. People think that all your bad habits and all our addictions disappear and dissipate the moment we leave where we are. Satan and packed his book bag and his suitcase, and he's right in the trunk in the U-Haul. Going wherever it is you think you're going. Matthew 11:28 says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. My first point is the invitation to the source. The invitation to the source. In these few verses in Matthew's gospel, Jesus is inviting people who are tired and weary to come unto him. These are people who are exhausted because they have been working hard. They're also exhausted because they've been doing things on their own, doing things their own way, in their own strength. Some people's souls are tired and they don't know it because they're on their way to hell and they have not accepted Jesus not only as their Lord, but they haven't accepted him as their Savior. There's two different things. There are people who have accepted Jesus as your Savior because why? We believe in heaven and hell and we don't want to go to hell. So Jesus, come into my heart, but I want to do things my way. So I accept you as my Savior, but I will continue to call the shots in my life. Maybe we have the wrong priorities, or maybe we have a wrong understanding on what God requires of us. Perhaps we've been doing the wrong things, or whatever the situation is, we're doing things our way and they continue not to yield fruit. We all know that the definition of doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results is what? Insanity. You wonder why we tired. It's because we keep trying to do things without God. We don't want God's help because we don't want to follow God's direction. Because if I bring God into the fold, I have to live a better life. Nobody wants to do that. Why? Because we want to do it our way. The invitation. Hey, let's start praying to God. Let's start praying to God. We have to take our burdens to the right place. The great preacher and songwriter, Brother J. Moss, said, don't pray and worry. But see, we worrying about everything and we not praying about nothing. Let me help you. Let me help you. Someone said, well, that's not true. Well, let me tell you, we're posting about everything, but we're praying about nothing. Because we've allowed social media to take the place of prayer, because once we post it, people, we on camera crying, going live. People in the ER talking about their blood pressure is 500 over a million. We everything is going through social media. We can't see that Satan is using this device to distract us from an intimate relationship with God. We're posting about everything, but some of us are not praying about anything. Mark Zuckerberg and all our little five followers, they don't have a heaven or hell to put us in. We have to start praying to God, and then we have to stop relying on people. We run into people. Everything that happens, we make a phone call instead of a knee fall. We calling people, and then we'll hang up with person A, and then we calling person B, and we calling everybody, just using that release as treatment, and we've yet to fall down on our knees. We have to stop relying on people. We talking to people who more jacked up than us. I read something about Oprah Winfrey. They said Oprah Winfrey is talking to people about how to manage money and how to be broke, but she's worth $3.2 billion. She's giving marital advice, but is not married. She's giving people advice on how to raise kids, but has none. We know more than her, is what the Post said. So we're going to people who may be in worse states than what we are. But if we fall down to our knees and give it to God, he will give us the peace that surpasses all understanding. Jesus is giving us the invitation. Listen, Matthew 6:33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Don't say seek him when you get around to it. It don't say come to him after we've posted or we tweeted or we've done what we've done. If the same scenario is weighing us down, but we're doing the same thing, we're never going to come out of what it is we're struggling with. How is it that we're struggling behind the scenes, but we're maintaining this social media presence like everything is all right? We have to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added to us. We have to believe that. The reason why we don't apply this is because we lack faith in this scripture. We still think that we can attain the things that we need and want of our own volition and might. That's why we're tired. We're not working spiritually smart. We're working carnally hard, and then therefore we're spiritually tired. And Jesus is inviting us to bring it to him. He invites us to come to him and find rest that our souls are seeking. The flesh may not be seeking it, but the flesh is doing things that makes the soul tired. The flesh is doing thing that drains the soul, because our fleshly man is stronger and bigger than our spiritual man, because we lack the intimacy with God. People are looking and running and seeking and struggling and striving and fighting and loving and rushing and searching and texting and Facebooking, all in an effort to find what only Jesus Christ can give. I'm going to say it again. People are looking and running and seeking and struggling and striving and fighting and loving and rushing and searching and texting and Facebooking, all in an effort to find what only Jesus Christ can give. 1 Peter 5:7 tells us, casting all your care upon him, because he cares for you. We spend so much time talking about how people aren't who we thought they were, and people done us so dirty, and I thought you cared for me, and I thought you loved me. See, it takes time to find out if certain people love and really care about you, but what I do know for sure is that God cares for you. God loves you. His track record speaks for itself. We have an invitation to the source. We have an invitation to the source. Listen, some of us are going through some small things in life, and we tired. And I say that because today is one issue. Tomorrow could be the doozy that rocks the very foundation of your life. But Proverbs 24:10 reminds us that if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. your strength is small. And then Jeremiah 12:5 reminds us that if you have run with the footmen and they have wearied you, then how can you contend with the horses? And if in the land of peace in which you trusted, they wearied you, then how will you do in the floodplain of the Jordan? The floodplain of the Jordan stayed flooded, and the terrain down there was rough and real squiggly and zigzaggy, and people died in the floodplain of the Jordan. So if you struggling in your own peace, living life how you want to live life, what you going to do when trouble comes outside of what you already doing to yourself? Because if you can't keep up with what you already dealing with, when Satan really gets busy in our life, we're going to be in a whole heap of trouble. And that's how we end up in that state of being so tired. That's how we end up there. My next point is, we want to be implementing spiritual submission. Implementing spiritual submission. Matthew 11:29a says, take my yoke up on you. I'm going to just stay right there for this point. Salvation always precedes surrender. Let me say it again. Salvation always precedes surrender. A yoke is a wooden instrument designed to allow two oxen to pull a load together, and it harnesses and uses the power of both animals to the load they are attempting to move. The image of the yoke also is used to speak of submission to the instructions of a teacher. So, if we want rest and if we want peace, we need to submit to the Prince of Peace. We all want peace in the midst of the storm, but we turn into everything and everyone but Jesus. We're turning to everything and everyone except for the one who can give us peace that surpasses all understanding. We want the Lord to open up the windows of heaven to pour out blessings that we won't have room enough to receive. But we also want to apply that old Burger King mentality. We want to have it our way. We want our cake and to eat it too. Jesus is saying, get in this yoke with me. He's not calling us to walk alone. He's calling us to walk with him. He knows we cannot live this life by ourselves. He goes with us and he enables us to live for him as we give him, if we give him control of our lives. See, the problem with us, church, the reason why the church has lost some of its effectiveness is that we want to come to church when it's convenient for us. We've been duped and hoodwinked and bamboozled into thinking that we can grow via a TV ministry. We think that as long as I'm sitting in and I'm tuning in that I'm okay, but we're not doing any service. We're just taking, but we're not giving. And then we give just enough to make us be able to sleep at night, because know that God knows how much or how little we are doing. But we have to implement spiritual submission. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20 says, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, what? Which are God's. We were bought with a price. So, my family and I, we have a kid who has a little bit of a Happy Meal addiction. And we go by there every once in a while. Ain't that right, Sweet Pea? Every once in a while. Every once in a while. But when we go by there, I know they know me on the intercom because I say, I want my food fresh and full. And I say to them, anytime This is before that dollar menu, that dollar coupon on the app. Them fries was $3. And I pull up and I tell Ina, I said, I ain't pulling off. Because I got to check and make sure my fries is fresh and full. Because I paid too much money for you to give me 7 fries and break my tooth on one of them. Y'all pay too much money for them. We were bought at a price. How much is Jesus getting for what he's given to us? If Jesus gave us eternal life and we're giving him a day here and there, I think Jesus needs to put some of that back and say, I need a do-over. I need you to reevaluate what you're doing and think back about what I've done for you. You remember that time you were sick and you called out to me and I healed your body and this is all you got for me? I'm glad the Lord don't give us stuff back. I'm glad the Lord don't send us back in there to be cooked again, because if it was so, we'd all be getting sent back. I just 2 Corinthians 5:15 says, and he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. The scripture, when you saved, is talking about, are you tired from doing the work of the Lord? Some of us are tired from our own shenanigans. And then some of us are tired because we're really trying to labor for God. Which one are you tired from? And then some of us are tired from our own mess, and we tired from trying to do work from the Lord too. Sometimes we got it coming from every side, pressed down, shaken up, and running over. But I'm going to press anyhow because God's been that good to me. Whenever you feel like cutting God short, think about what he's done for you. See, it's easy to sit here and look all dignified like you got here on your own. If it had not been for God waking you up this morning, because there's somebody who's still asleep right now. There's somebody who didn't wake up. There's somebody who won't wake up north of the dirt today, but God saw fit. Listen. 12:1 says of Romans, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a what? A living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. If you always tired but never serving and God still rejuvenates you, God has been good to you. Let me say it again. If you always tired but you never serving God and he always comes through for you, he's been good to you. What are you trying to say? What I'm trying to say is some of the stuff that God is delivering us out of, we brought it on ourselves. God is still coming through, and some of our heavenly accounts are in the red, and he's still coming through. Because Paul said that I was young and now I'm old, and I'm yet to see the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. A living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is our reasonable service. Galatians 2:20 says that I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. We have to yoke up with Jesus Christ. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me. You looking for a shout in the scripture? Let me wake you up. You're getting a little sleepy? Because Jesus loved you and gave himself for you. It's time for us to start implementing spiritual submission, which leads to us serving God. What more awesome service could one give other than give themselves? But it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And my final point is we need to imitate his servitude. We need to imitate his servitude. The 29b portion through 30 says, and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I don't know about you, but I always look for the shout in the scripture. And I want to be just like Jesus. Kirk Franklin used to sing that song that when we get there, we'll be just like Jesus. Am I right, all my singers? It said something along them lines. I'm not too good for words. I wasn't called to sing, but he said something like that. But I believe that we are to try to be like Jesus while we down here on earth. Amen. See, all of us want to be like Jesus in death, but nobody wants to be like Jesus down here on earth. And we need to imitate the servitude of Jesus Christ. What are you talking about, preacher? Go to Mark 10:45, and it says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." If Jesus can come down off of the throne, if he can come down from his priestly royal place in heaven and come down here to serve us and die on the cross for you and for me, the least we could do is serve God while we down here. Am I right about it? Jesus didn't die on the cross to play second fiddle to our mess. Jesus tells us to look at his example of servitude. How he is gentle and humble and is and was completely sold out to his Father's will. Jesus was sent into this world to serve and not be served. We always trying to figure out how we can get something out of something. But Jesus came to give, and he gave his all. You remember this. We are not saved by works. But I believe we have all been saved to work. Let me say it again. We're not saved by works. But Jesus died on the cross so that we can work for him. It's our reasonable service. The word "learn" in the text is the same word in the Greek that is translated disciple. Jesus is looking for people who will lay everything on the line, as he did, and serve him with no reservations. I remember the boy who came to Jesus and said, "I've been following you all the days of my life. I've been keeping the commandments. I've been doing this, and I've been living this great life, and I'm a holy man." And Jesus said, "Go, sell all your stuff, get rid of everything, and then come back and follow me." We never heard from him again, because he loved his possessions and he loved his things and he loved his money more than he loved Jesus Christ. When we trust Jesus by faith, our souls will be given rest. We can get rest when we serve him. There's a joy and happiness that comes from serving God. There is a reward that no man and no devil can take away from us when we serve God and when we submit our ways to him. If you want true rest for your soul and peace for your soul, come to Jesus. Give him true commitment. Come to Jesus for salvation and yield to his will for your life. Because we must serve him faithfully. The fullness, how can I say it? The fullness of his peace and rest are found under his yoke. Let me say it again. The fullness of peace and rest given by Jesus Christ is found under his yoke. The word "easy," and I'm about to close. The word "easy" means it fits well in the Greek. How many people, where my Bible readers, how many people know that Jesus was a carpenter? And he has designed a yoke for each and every one of us that will fit us perfectly. His burden is light if we submit our path to him. If we submit the path that and follow the path that he's laid for us. The problem is we want to follow our own GPS. We don't want to go the way that God has laid out for us. Yeah, we'll have some burdens along the way, and things won't always go like we want them to go, but we will find the yoke of Jesus Christ that will bring peace, joy, fulfillment, happiness, and satisfaction all in the midst of the storm. Our souls are tired for one or two reasons. Either because we have not brought our issues and ways to the Lord, or because we have not truly given our lives to Him. Coming to church does not save you. It just means you come to church. But some of us, if you have not given your life to Jesus Christ, just pause. I'm going to get to that in a minute, but I'm going to come back to you. But for those of us who have accepted Jesus as our Savior, let me say a few things to you. If you are a Christian but find yourself consistently weary and tired, if you find yourself feeling helpless and hopeless, if you find yourself tired and broke, busted and disgusted, then it's time to not only make Jesus your Savior, but make Him the Lord of your life. See that there are two things. There are so many things that are going on in our lives and in the world, and we're trying to handle them on our own. That's why we're tired. That's why sometimes we feel like giving up. Think about the times we gave it to God and He took care of it, and He didn't just end it right away, but He hopped right in the storm with you. How many people had peace in the midst of their storm before? It didn't end as soon as you got off your knees, but you had a feeling of peace once you truly had given it to God. Is there anybody here who has given it to God, but He didn't remove you from it, but He just gave you peace that surpasses all understanding? Let me go to the word before I close. I'm reminded of the Hebrew boys. You know them, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And the king had resurrected an image and had gave out the decree that if the music plays, that everybody is to bow down and give homage to the image. Well, the three Hebrew boys came in and said, hey, king, we don't have to have no meeting. We don't have to call the deacons. You don't have to call a meeting for the church. I'm going to tell you right now, we trust our God, and we're not bowing down to this image. I don't care what you got going on. We trust that God will protect us. So they threw them into the fiery furnace, and the Bible says that they threw three of them in there bound. And they turned the fire up so high that it consumed all the guards standing around the furnace. And then the king posed the question. He said, didn't we throw three into the fire? And he said, didn't we throw three? And they said, well, yeah, king, we threw three in there. He said, well, why do I see four people in the furnace loosed in there walking around in the fire? See, Jesus didn't bring them out the fire right then, but He hopped in there with them and He protected them while they was in the midst of the fire. Because I heard the king say that I see a fourth and he looks just like the Son of God. And then I'm reminded about the lion's den. Y'all stay with me. I'm almost done. But Daniel went into the lion's den and he could not fight. And he was in there with some hungry, carnivorous lions, and they were ready to eat him. But God went in there and closed the mouth of the lions. And not only did He close the mouth of the lions, but my Bible says that Daniel laid on the back of the lions. My Bible says that Daniel slept like a baby while he was in the den of the lions. The Bible also says that the king was up in the temple and he couldn't sleep at all. The king was wide awake, stressing and worrying, but Daniel was asleep like a baby. And the king got up and said, hey, Daniel, here's the shout in the scripture. Are you down there? Did your God come through? And Daniel said, all day and all night, the Lord keeps blessing me. Don't you know that if you stay true to the word of God, that He'll confuse your enemies? Don't you know that if you stay true to the word of God, He'll stress out your enemies? Because when my enemies come in like a flood, The Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard. I know sometimes we may still get sick, and there's somebody here who may not have any money in their bank account, and there's some people here who kids are driving them crazy. You might have marital problems and family problems, and you barely got here, but you came today just to worship God, because the Bible says that He will never leave you or forsake you. Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Quit letting the world tell you that you can worship from home and that it don't take all that. If you want to be delivered, come into the house of God. Praise God. Serve God. Work for the Lord. Some of us have had some rough trials and tribulations, and I understand that for some of us, we've been through hell and back. And that's why some of us always got our hands stretched out. And I know sometimes we get on some people's nerves, but as long as Jesus keeps coming through for me, I'm going to keep on stretching my hands towards heaven. You, somebody's in here right now who don't feel all that good, but they here just to praise God. They might have worn their outfit last Sunday, but they barely made it into the house of the Lord. And they've come to praise God and not impress us. People who don't give it to God won't understand your praise to God. People who don't submit to God won't understand your obedience to God. How many people in here have prayed and cried and given the Lord your best, and your breakthrough still hasn't come? I'm here to tell you that if you just give your burdens to God, if you just hold on to God's unchanging hand, it's all going to work together for your good. Just keep on trusting in Him. Keep on holding on to His hands.